You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
And his theme throughout was, I don't want to throw away this chance. I'm not throwing away my shot. Which got me thinking about this series in the book of Acts. You know, we're studying the book of Acts off and on throughout 2021. We're going to do a number of weeks now. We're going to come back to it later this year. Why? Well, it's just time to look at the first church. Maybe because to see the things that the early church saw, we might need to, as Edson said, refocus. To see the things the early church saw, we might need to embrace and do the things the early church did. So, this is our shot. This is our shot. We've all thought about things in this past year that things we want to reset, things in our personal life, things in our work life. We've rethought some values and things, but what about how we live our Christian life? And what about us as the church together? The little C church, Every Nation GTA, the big C church in Canada and globally. What if this is our shot to reset some things, to refocus and to realign ourselves with the early church? So we're going to continue today looking in the book of Acts, and we're going to continue. And I ask that as we read and as we study and as we focus and as we think about this history, this part of history, that we would reflect and ask the Lord, what are you saying to me in this, at this time, in this place, in this season? And maybe we can just sing along with Hamilton and Lin-Manuel Miranda, I'm not throwing away my shot. So let's read together today, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Before this, last week, Richard's sermon was Peter's sermon, the first sermon they say ever preached in the church. Peter stood up in the crowds of people on that day of the day of Pentecost, and he told them, he preached a great sermon that they understood in context of their Jewish faith. And at the end of it, it says they were pierced to the heart, and they said, what should we do? And Peter told them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And then it says, just before the passage that we read today, that there were 3,000 souls added in that very day. So the word was preached, hearts were pierced, lives were changed. 3,000 were added to the church. As I've been reading the book of Acts, as we've been starting this series, and I've been reading through the first number of chapters a number of times, and it's taken me back actually to my teenage years. You know, I first started following Jesus in my mid-teens, and the Word of God, the Bible, was fresh and alive to me, and I just couldn't get enough of it. Okay, well, the New Testament, the Old Testament was still a little heavy for me, but I read through the New Testament over and over again. And I remember reading the book of Acts and being so intrigued by it. In fact, one day, many years ago, okay, this was in the 70s, right? So long, long time ago. My friend Sandy and I were sitting in Victoria Park in Kitchener, just a few minutes away from here. In fact, Pastor Aaron and his wife live pretty close to Victoria Park. And I remember one day with my friend Sandy sitting on a blanket, we had a guitar because it was the 70s, and we were discussing this passage from Acts chapter 2. And it had started something stirring inside of it. Really? Like, this is what church could be? Sandy and I grew up in the same church, and the church we grew up in didn't look like this. That devotion to the word, that devotion to one another, that devotion to prayer, the generosity just bursting, signs and wonders. It wasn't what we had seen in our lives. And yet we were sitting on this blanket dreaming together. Maybe this is what church is supposed to look like. And this is the impact that church is supposed to have. Well, I taught my kids to read. We homeschooled. And one of the things when you teach kids to read is you want them to comprehend, not just read what they're reading, but comprehend what they're reading. And one of the ways you do that is you help them identify keywords. And I've got two keywords from our reading today. And the first keyword I want to look at is the word devoted. The translation we read said, they devoted themselves. King James says, they continued steadfastly. I like that. There's something about that word steadfast, just immovable. Another translation says, they committed themselves. The early church devoted themselves. Have you ever thought about what you're devoted to in life? Like, what kind of questions do you ask to think about what you're devoted to? I ask things like, what do I spend my time on, and what's it really easy to spend money on, and what do I think about? I'm pretty devoted to my kids. I have four of them, and nobody has to say to me, hey, have you thought about Luke today, or have you thought about Catherine? No. I'm a mom, and I think about my kids every day, and nobody has to twist my arm to buy them a gift. And if you told me one of them was pulling in the driveway and I got to spend the afternoon or the day with them, I wouldn't be, you know, oh, no, that's not how I want to spend my time. Because I'm devoted to my kids. It's easy to give my time and attention, and my thoughts go there. What are you devoted to? Sometimes it's career. Sometimes it's a hobby. Sometimes it's good things, and sometimes it's things that's not so good. Sometimes it's fun things. Lots of you know that my husband Bert's kind of devoted to his grass, the kind that grows outside. And you'll find Bert sometimes, you know, in the evening, maybe we're watching sports and he's watching videos on how to have the perfect lawn. Yeah, because it's something he's devoted to. Well, let's take that to the next level, because the early church was devoted to the things of God. Here's a quote that really helped me. And they devoted themselves. Acts 2:42. When the early believers converted to Christ, it never occurred to them to fit him into the margins of their busy lives. They redefined themselves around a new, immovable center. He was not an optional weekend activity along with the kids' soccer practices or hockey in our country. They put him and his church and his cause first in their hearts, first in their schedules, first in their budgets, first in their reputations, first in their very lives. They devoted themselves. Pastor Ray Ortland from Emmanuel Church in Nashville. So I want to just kind of sum it up with like our cat just ran through the room. Now, you might not have heard the jingle bell, but she has joined us here in church today. We'd give you a camera shot, but she is long gone. This is real and live, no outtakes. So I want to look at four things that the early church was devoted to. And when I do that, I want to look at the second keyword, and that's the word and. In this passage, we read five verses. The word and appears 10 times. So the early church, they were devoted to the word, and they were devoted to relationship, and they were devoted to prayer, and they were devoted to generosity. think in my years of church life and ministry, our tendency sometimes might be to treat the Christian faith like a buffet line. Well, I like this part, but I'm not crazy about that one. And I'm really eager to do this. Yeah, but I don't know so much about that. So we might look at Christianity a little more like this, devoted to the word, or maybe devoted to relationship, or maybe devoted to prayer, or maybe devoted to generosity. And yet in the early church, we see that they were devoted to, and they were devoted to, and they were devoted to. And awe came upon them, and many signs and wonders were happening among them, and all who believed had all things in common, and they were selling stuff so they could meet other people's needs, and day by day they were giving things to other people, and the Lord was adding to their number daily. So I think, again, if we want to see what the early church saw, maybe it's time to rethink living our lives, how the early church lived their lives. I think sometimes we go, well, I like the teaching part, but I'm not so crazy about the small groups, or I like the community stuff, especially when we got to go out for lunch after church on Sunday, or when we went camping in the summer. You know, I like the community part, but, you know, if I'm going to pray, I'm just going to pray by myself. I'd never go to a group prayer meeting because then I might have to say something out loud. Or, you know, I like the teaching on Sunday and I like the community, but heck if I'm going to give anything towards it. So I think we kind of sometimes live an either or life, or that's our temptation. And yet to see the things, to have a shot at seeing the things the early church saw, perhaps we need to rethink and live our lives, readjust and live our lives the way the early church lived their lives. So this is our shot. Let's look at the things the early church was devoted to one by one. So the early church was devoted to the word. Now, this is not, Richard preached a really good message on Sunday, and I really liked his illustration and that story he told. And I've learned some things that I've never heard before. But, you know, you can't separate our devotion to the word from our devotion to relationship, because the word gets worked out in our lives with one another in relationship, studying together, sharing together, wrestling through some things together. So the word and our relationships are intertwined. The truth gets applied. So we hear something preached or we study something together, but the truth gets applied together. It gets into you in community, into your life, into your heart, house to house, life to life, heart to heart. So we can't separate the teaching of the word from working out that word, being devoted to our relationships. Practically, are you committed to a small group? You know, here at Every Nation GTA, we take the Sunday sermon and we take the notes from it. We take some notes. And at small group, whatever night you're there, we actually look at what we learned about Sunday. And we look and we go, oh, here's how this relates to my life. Here's an area where I need to grow and change. Here's something where God's already been doing a work in my life. We wrestle through life to life and heart to heart the word of God. So devoted to the word and devoted to relationship. The next thing is devoted to prayer. When I was thinking about this all week and I was thinking about the idea of prayer, and sorry, but the thing that kept just coming into my head was an old Janis Joplin song. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Now here's the problem. When you separate prayer from the word of God, you may not be praying for a Mercedes-Benz, but, you know, there's a place in our life where we're supposed to turn to the word of God for a prayer to be directed and to pray according to the things, to pray the Psalms and to see the great prayers. We've studied them before in our church, to see some of the great prayers in the church, Abraham and Hannah and David, and see and understand and have the word affect how we pray. Two other things on prayer. So don't separate it from the word. So the second thing is don't separate prayer from relationship. Can't do that. These things are all tied together. As we see, they were devoted to this and that and this and that. So prayer, there are times where we see Jesus went off by himself to pray. Or as we get farther along in the book of Acts, we'll see that Peter goes up onto a rooftop to pray and God does some pretty neat prophetic things, speaks to him. But there's many other times in the book of Acts we've seen already and we'll see again where the believers came together in community and prayed together and astounding things happened, from the falling of the Holy Spirit, from a new boldness being infused in people, from Peter getting out of jail. Miraculous and awesome things happened when the church came together to pray. So we're going to pray according to the word. And yeah, there's times when we're going to pray on our own, but there's times where we need to join together and pray. This week is our week of prayer and fasting. And in small groups this week, we're going to do some extra praying together in community. For those of you who don't like to pray in a group, don't you dare skip small group this week, because we want to be devoted to the word and relationship and prayer. The next thing, devoted to generosity. Nobody, seriously nobody, I don't think, looks at themselves and says with pride, I am such a greedy person. I am so stingy. Everybody thinks of themselves as kind and loving and giving and generous. And yet, we can't, as believers, separate our generosity, once again, from the Word of God. We see generosity played out in relationships in this passage from Acts, but our generosity in relationships in the church can't be separated from God's Word. And we talk at our church about tithing. Tithe, the tithe simply means a tenth, 10%. And if you read through the Old Testament, and if you read through your Bible and you realize that actually that 10% was a bare minimum basic that God said, here's your starting point to give. We sometimes want to define our own generosity and say, well, you know, but I gave some money last year to a GoFundMe for a sick child in Winnipeg, or I gave money to a disaster relief in name a country, or I sent money to family, or and yet God says, here's what generosity looks like. It's bringing the tithe into the storehouse. And out of that, the interesting thing about the book of Acts is, and as we look at their generosity, and what I've seen in my life is often the people who get it, the penny drops, and they're faithful to tithe over and above. Their generosity also flourishes in every other area of their life, their time and their possessions. And because it works that heart change in me. What I have isn't my own anyway, and everything I have is God's, and he doesn't need it. But he asks me to submit my possessions, my time, my money to him. So we define our generosity by the word of God, and our generosity is expressed in relationship and community. And what happens in this devotion, in this level of devotion, what happened and what we're going to give our best shot is going to happen again, is that devotion brought about the spread of the gospel. The word spread, people got saved. The church grew. The church grew daily. The church grew daily. People, insiders and outsiders, looked at what was going on with awe. And the church grew daily. People came to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders, healing. No needy one among them. No needy one among them. I go back to my teenage years and my friend Sandy and I sitting on a blanket, dreaming. Could it really be like this? Could we really live lives devoted to the things of God, the purposes of God, to devoted to one another, that we could see the expansion of the gospel, the good news touching the lives of those around us? There's a man who passed away in 2011. He was a pastor and theologian and writer for 66 years at the same church. His name was John Stott. And right before he died, about a year before, a book was published. His final book was published. And the man was pushing 90 when he wrote this book. And the book was called The Radical Disciple. And of all he knew, of all his years walking with God, it's kind of like, this sums it all up. And here's one thing that John Stott said in this book. It is when the new community is most obviously distinct from the world in its values and standards and lifestyle that it presents the world with a radically attractive alternative and so exercises its greatest influence for Christ. So I started out by saying I was captivated by those words, this is our shot. And as we've had this year plus, to maybe hit reset on a few things in our life, to maybe rethink some things, how we spend our time and money and what's really important in life and looking at suffering in the world and really the one true answer to suffering being a faith in Jesus and knowing the Lord. As we've had this time to think, maybe you'll be like me. To be honest, as I've looked at some of the things in the book of Acts and some of the direction that we're going in the weeks ahead, I've thought, oh, I've lost a few things. And, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I've lost some things on my own heart about the place of the Holy Spirit in my own life. And what are the priorities? What are my priorities? Not the ors, not, well, I do a little of this and a little of that, but do I have the ands in my life? This and this and this and this. And can I just dare to believe that if we lived the life that the early church lived, we could see the results that the early church saw? Well, I think I have to end with a sobering scripture from the book of Revelation. Yeah, the book of Revelation, we don't often go there, but John had this prophetic vision and there were seven different churches depicted. And the one church, the church of Ephesus, Jesus said in this prophetic vision, you've done a lot of good things. Yeah, you have. And he acknowledged that. But here's the verse, or at least part of two verses. It says, but I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. Jesus said, you've lost some of your first love. And I want to say today, and I hope as we continue in the book of Acts, that something will be stirred inside of us that maybe you're like me. It's time to return to some of those things. Return to your first love. Maybe this is new to you and you read Acts chapter 2 for the first time and you have that intrigue like my friend Sandy and I had where we went, really? This could really be? This could, and we could be a part of it. But let's refocus, return, consider, and take this shot. Trust that God's going to move in our lives through us and through and into those around us. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for those who went before us, even in the first century, those Christians who went before us, and what we can learn and what we can see and what we can hope for as we read these words and as we let them sink into our heart and our soul. And Father, we pray that our devotion, that our focus on you, that we would return or maybe turn for the first time to our first love to Jesus. So, Father, work in our lives and in our heart as we study, as we learn, and as we apply what we're seeing in the book of Acts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.